dun 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 dun.
Hi everybody, Octopus Caveman here.
Peter.
Welcome to Popcorn with Candy, the podcast where we talk about the films of the great John Candy in close to chronological order.
We hope.
Yeah, just realized it might have been a little off.
Not a big deal.
Eh, whatever. Deal with it.
One or two might have been out of order.
This is Stripes.
I'm happy.
And one of my favorites.
I probably didn't have to watch it before this.
Yeah, I had to just to sort of refresh. It's been probably 10 years since I've watched this.
I watch it at least every couple of years.
It is weird, though. It's really familiar, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of it was like, oh, yeah, and then this part, okay, and then here's, you know? It felt really familiar to me. We must have watched this way too much as kids.
Way too young to be watching it.
Totally. This is probably some of the first boobies and movies I saw.
Maybe.
Oh, my God, new podcast, Boobies and Movies.
Copyright 2016.
This movie is directed by Ivan Reitman, who is probably best known for 6 Days, 7 Nights, the Harrison Ford and Anne Heche movie from 1998.
Wow, weird.
He's not best known for that. Ghostbusters.
Right? Okay, I don't know any of that. I don't know directors.
Oh, really? Ivan Reitman?
No.
It's got a hell of a cast. Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, great together. Warren Oates as Sergeant Holka, probably the only thing I know him from. PJ Souls, Sean Young. John Candy, great in this. John Larroquette, great in this. John Deal, just an awesome cast. There's that dude who's red-haired, who's on everything.
And this was his first movie?
Yeah, that was amazing. We took a donut break, everybody, and at the donut shop, that guy was in a TV show.
Yeah, he's on everything nowadays.
He's great. He's great in this, too.
Yeah, I don't know his name. I probably never will.
I should look it up on IMDb, but we love you, dude. Know you're a huge fan. Tweet us your name.
When we get to it, we'll tell you who he is.
This movie is just awesome. It holds up super well.
I know there are a lot of complaints about it starting great and ending poorly.
That's a fact, Jack. A lot of people are like, that's the story that should be told. They, you know, whip themselves into shape.
It almost feels like the next part is a sequel.
Yeah.
Because it's a different style slightly, but it kind of all fits.
Yeah, it works for me because it's a classic, but I understand that argument, the people who say that, because it is a weird addendum almost. And the first half is quick wit, talky humor. It's a... Talky humor, new podcast. Dude. The end is like this weird action humor. So you had mentioned Bill Murray and PJ Souls did basic training.
Yeah, IMDb trivia said they did 3 days of basic training.
I think, I've been thinking about it. They're the ones who do some of the combat stuff.
Yeah, poorly.
Yeah, it's so, 3 days. What are you going to learn in 3 days?
But if you think of Bill Murray taking something seriously for 3 days,
no.
That means he takes a couple hours to do some watching people do basic training, maybe get yelled at a couple of times.
The thing that's
then he goes and parties with everybody.
Probably. What's interesting to me is Bill Murray at a certain point, like in this movie, he's the everyman, and he's relatable. At a certain point, he's not that guy anymore.
In real life, you mean?
Even in movies, hard to see him as the everyman. I think after Scrooged, it was just like, he has to be these wacky characters almost. The stuff he does in the Wes Anderson movies is great, but he's always sort of this bizarre character. He's much different in movies after that. He's not this everyman sort of dude.
I've always found him strange.
Yeah?
Not really that relatable to yourself, but kind of a little more extreme than you would want to be.
Well, him in this movie is... He's basically me. So maybe that's why I find him so relatable in this. He's just a dude who made terrible life choices, but he made a good life choice in joining the army, whereas I didn't.
Well, for his timing, it might have been a good life choice. You nowadays, not a good choice.
No. Maybe 8 years ago it would have been a good choice.
No, maybe if you were your age back in the 70s, maybe.
So the opening of this I love. It opens with the commercial for the Army. This is the Army.
Yeah, it's a weird old one that I don't remember, but of course I was really young.
How did we watch this so often? I don't think we own this. Was this just one of those, like, Cinemax HBO. Or HBO just constant repeat movies?
Yeah, there was one HBO back when we were watching HBO, and this was on twice a day for months at a time.
This is it's not TV HBO, right? This is home box office HBO. With the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da. They still use that.
Do they?
Occasionally.
Oh, I haven't watched HBO in a while. Ever since they canceled Dream On, I was just like, I'm out.
That was a year after we finished watching Stripes.
Shout out to Brian Benben. I know he's a huge fan. So Bill Murray's getting a shoe shine, and he picks up a cab fare outside. He kind of just flags some kids down.
Yeah, he had a nice weird line, $100 shine and $3 pair of boots.
The lines in this are so difficult to go over because this is a mile a minute. This is a fast, great movie.
It is, and I love so many of them that I'm just going to say them anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's one I don't remember, and I picked that up watching this week.
I always think about how big the scripts are, because, like, I saw a script for Evil Dead 2, and it's, like, 6 pages long, which is remarkable. Normally, I think it's, like, a page for every minute of screen time or something like that. With movies like this and certain, like, Woody Allen movies, Sorkin movies, where there's a lot of talking, I always think, like, oh, it's got to be, like, twice that. Because Bill Murray is so fast in this, but most of it's probably improv anyway.
So he's got a couple passengers in his cab. He gets somewhere, and they take off on him.
He looks awful. He does not look ready for work. He looks kind of like a homeless guy.
Or a New York City cab driver.
Why is he getting a shoe shine?
Why not?
He looks like a homeless guy from the ankles up, but just to have your shoes all nice and shiny?
I don't know.
And he doesn't strike me as the type of dude who would wear shoes that need to be shined.
He's weird.
Yeah, he is weird. So the fare skips out, and he decides to pick up a rich old lady.
She's just standing there and tells him to load her bags.
In the middle of the street, too.
Yeah. She says, be careful with my bags. Don't get a scratch on them. And she's got a bunch of big bags, and he just treats them like a cab driver would. Just throws them in and scratches them up.
Well, the folly is pretty funny, because one of the bags just sounds like it's just full of glass.
Yeah. And he's put in the trunk, and apparently he really knocked himself in the nuts when he was filming that scene. And that when he says, oh, my balls, that was real, and they cut.
That's funny. I had no idea.
We get Ramus.
Ramus teaching English.
Basic English, an ESL class.
Ramus's hair in the beginning of this is so righteous.
Yeah, not bad.
It's like a Jewish lion's mane. It's so good.
It's gotta let your soul glow. Watch that this week, too.
The English teaching is so awesome, because isn't this the scene where he's asking if anybody speaks English, and the one guy raises his hand and says some sort of swear at him?
Yes, and then everybody repeats it.
Yeah, I love that so much. And back to old lady being mean to Bill Murray.
And he's scaring the crap out of her. I love it.
He almost kills them.
Yeah.
He legit makes dangerous maneuvers that could have just crashed the cab.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a good person.
No, I love it. I'm actually a photographer, and he takes his camera and he's turning around taking pictures of her while not looking and almost running into people.
Yeah. And then at a certain point, blocks two lanes of traffic.
Oh, yeah. She goes off on him, and they're on a bridge. And he stops the bridge and gets out, throws the keys in the water.
It's a brilliant jerk maneuver.
I was just talking to a friend recently about awesome I quit my job today moments. I worked in an amusement park, and people did that all the time. That was an awesome, I quit my job moment. Like, okay, here are the keys, in the river.
It makes me mad, because I drive in a lot of traffic, and all those people behind that cab, it's not their fault that old lady was being mean.
Oh yeah, it sucks for people, but
that's
how
horrible.
Awesome is that as a quitting story?
Ah, that would be a headline. That would be headline news.
Oh yeah.
The cab driver stops traffic.
He'd probably be arrested, too.
For sure. Remember in that band in L.A., they had, like, a van with, like, their band name all over it, and they stopped traffic in downtown L.A. on the 101?
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. I hate that band. I don't remember their name. If you know them, hate them with me.
They did jail time.
Yeah, good. That's how Alice Cooper got big, though. He did a similar thing. In England, he had a truck drive around in Piccadilly Circus or whatever and pretend to break down and just be broken down. But yeah, then we have Ramus teaching English again, and they're singing the Do Run Run song.
Yeah, doing well.
I love that. I could have watched so much more of the English class.
It would have been nice to get a little more of Ramis before this.
He's great. I love him as an actor.
He's a great director. I do miss his acting. Like, he didn't do enough.
I mean, I have an interesting relationship with him because of Groundhog Day. But I can't say the guy's... He's excellent. But yeah. I love this. It's great to see that duo of Murray and Ramis. They're so excellent in this.
Right, yeah.
It's before Murray was just sort of the vehicle guy, you know? Before it was just, oh, you put Bill Murray in it. No. And they started doing, like, the silly elephant movies and all that.
The elephant movie was good.
Yeah, I like it. McConaughey. Is that his name? Sounds weird to me. McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey?
He's in there. He's a crazy truck driver.
I remember that, yeah.
He's brilliant. Tip Taylor's? Tip Top Truckin' or something?
I don't remember, but he was a young McConaughey.
So Bill Murray gets home. He's got a pizza. He's got a dress in his hand. And his car's getting repoed. And he drops the pizza in the dress to try and attack the car, like Clown Murder style, with the weight of his body. I'm so frustrated by that. Why does he drop the pizza that way?
I don't know.
There's nothing you could do.
But somehow he dropped it in a way that the car ran over both the pizza and the dress.
And I did think, watching that again, I was just like, I'd eat that pizza. It didn't look too bad. And when he walks in the house, he goes like something like, honey, I'm home. I got pizza. That was totally his plan. Just
maybe.
So he comes home to his topless girlfriend,
who's got pictures of her all over the apartment. She's like some model, apparently.
Yeah, he had mentioned he was a photographer. So okay. I have a feeling he's just photographing his...
But he left his camera in the cab.
He did.
Wow, he walked away with nothing but the keys and threw the keys.
Yeah, he didn't think out his bold, like, ridiculous maneuver.
Yeah.
So stuff's not working out with her. And they're arguing a little bit, and he got the dress dirty when he dropped it and all that. And then this is when I was like, I'm this guy. Everything she says about him, just like you're not fun anymore, stuff like that. I'm like, oh man, I have had this conversation with girls. this is just, it was almost a bummer watching this now. Like, as a kid, it was like, Bill Murray's the man. And then I turned into that character, and I'm like, oh, you poor bastard. Like, join the army, get it together.
Yeah, I get it. I like his defense for some of this stuff. Like, who can grow more than me? It's great.
Yeah.
And the last one, you can't go. All the plants are going to die.
I love that so much. I've got a few dead potted plants at home. So Harold Ramis shows up.
And he's playing, Bill Murray's playing basketball.
Yeah, in his house.
Ramis walks in and he just throws, like chucks the basketball out the window.
It's a crazy weird move. And he's just like, hey, do you mind if I have the last beer? He says, yeah. I'm like, all right, we'll split it.
No, he says no. And he says, okay, we'll split it.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes to the window, hey, little help? So they're talking a little more, and he gets somebody down on the street to throw the ball back. And he's leaning out one window, waiting to catch it, and the ball comes in another window. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. There's so many great just little maneuvers in this. So they're just watching, and that army ad comes on again. John, Bill Murray's character, goes, this doesn't look that bad. Like, what a way to start it. For me, it's going to be like, I'm going to be watching like Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe or something. I'll be like, garbage, man. That's all right. It's noble.
Someone's got to do it.
The direction my life takes off in. Like, you know, I mean, it's just pig poop. Yeah, they end up driving to the...
Russell first challenges him to do 5 push-ups.
Right. Yeah, this is great.
And they bet $3 on it.
Yeah, good ones. And he's laying down. It's like, what are you doing? Praying.
So he barely does them and does his little, I gotta get my life together rant.
Yeah, he says, I've gotta dry out or I'm dead before I'm 30.
Yeah.
Him at 31, he's got a Steve Martin thing going for him. Like, Steve Martin went gray at like 25, so he looked eternally like 40. Bill Murray, like, started going bald at like 22, so he eternally looked like 40.
Yeah, between 20 and 50.
Yeah.
He didn't change.
Just timeless. It's kind of a blessing. I'm going to do that with, like, a respirator. So they're out in front of the recruiter's office, and they get out, and somebody talks to him about, like, hey, you can't park there.
The guy has a great accent and a great voice.
But he tells them they can't park there, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're abandoning it. It's not how recruiters work, by the way. You don't just sign up, and then you're gone. There's a lot of paperwork, weirdly.
and tests.
Yeah, I almost joined the army.
Me too.
But there's so much paperwork, I was kind of just like, forget this. I'll figure it out.
The answers they give the recruiter are great.
It's pretty amazing.
It's the best. Have either of you been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor? The perfect answer is, convicted? No, no.
I love that. Yeah, and then are either of you homosexuals?
Bill Murray does the look right away at Ramis. Ramis says, no, but we're willing to learn.
Yeah.
And then Murray, would they put us somewhere special?
Their back and forth is just amazing. And I imagine there's so much improv going on in this movie just at all times.
Yeah, it must have been so much fun.
Well, you mentioned this was supposed to be a Cheech and Chong movie.
Originally, it was written as a Cheech and Chong movie.
I don't know how much improv those guys do. I would imagine a lot. Because I know that Dave's Not Here Man was just totally an improv sketch. They were going to do something else entirely. And then Tommy Chong decided to do something goofy to make Cheech mad. So this could have been an interesting Cheech and Chong movie.
It would have been totally different.
Yeah.
I'm not sad we didn't see that one, but I'm really glad we have this version of this movie.
Yeah, me too.
That song you heard at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah.
Was from this scene?
This is the Sign the Papers music.
It's Bill Murray taunting Harold Ramis into signing.
I love it. It's great. So they're at a bus station immediately.
We see Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Love that guy.
I do too. So Harold Ramis is talking to Judge Reinhold, and he's like, hey, you holding? He's like, well, I am, kind of thing. What kind of maniac shows up to go to boot camp with a bag of drugs?
And he's asking somebody else to carry for him.
Yeah.
That's somebody perfect.
Else he already knows is going there, too. It's a maniac maneuver.
And I love that Ramis scares the crap out of him by saying, you know, they're strip searching before we get on the bus.
Well, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they, though?
Not before, probably.
And wouldn't they be suspicious if you, like, brought anything?
They would catch it on the way in, I'm sure.
For sure.
Another great line by Murray. He's asked, are you on one of these buses? Not yet, ma'am.
I love that, yeah. So, yeah, he's talking to PJ Souls, the MP.
His love interest.
Yeah, he's kind of hitting on her, and she shuts him down super hard. And then Harold Ramis is kind of flirty with Sean Young. Ace Ventura had such an impact on me that every time...
That's her?
Yeah. Every time I see her in anything, I just think Finkel and Einhorn, Finkel and Einhorn.
Does Ramis know she's got a penis?
I feel so bad. Sean Young is amazing for doing that. She probably gets so much flack for that. But she was like a crush of mine as a little kid. I thought she's the looker in this movie. You're welcome, Sean. I know you're a huge fan. John Candy, for the first time.
The ladies are talking about the two guys that just hit on them.
I love John Candy so much in this. And especially in the beginning with his, like, awesome 70s hair.
And his great lines.
Yeah. He looks a little haggard, though. It looked to me like there was some partying going on in this movie.
Probably. Look at the cast.
Yes. But, yeah, he pops in between those ladies, and it's just like, excuse me, stewardess, is there a movie on this flight?
And he walks off chuckling.
So they show up at the base.
With the great music, finally.
It's stuck in my head currently as we're doing this.
So we're pretty well into the music, and they start unloading the bus.
And, yeah, John Larroquette's there for the first time. He plays Stillman.
Captain Stillman. Every time Stillman is on and Stripes March is going on, we get Piccolos.
I love it so much. I can't believe you picked that up. And watching this is just amazing.
It's like confirming, yeah, this guy's a pansy, guys.
I love John Larroquette. Like,
yeah, but his character is just kind of like this... pansy, it just fits.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, but he was in so much stuff that I loved as a kid, and then...
We watched Night Court all the time back then.
I love Night Court still.
I want to go back and watch it.
It holds up.
I'll binge it.
It's great. So John Candy has the best line of this.
I hope this is the mess hall. How's it going, Eisenhower?
That's my favorite. How's it going, Eisenhower?
I liked when Stillman trips on something right then.
Yeah.
And have that removed.
Yeah, I love
that.
That's
great.
And then we have the Sergeant Holka speech.
The standard boot camp monologue.
Speaking to all the new recruits.
I prefer this to the one in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
This one's good.
It is pretty good. I love how chill John Candy is. He's just in the front row, kind of just like resting his head on his back. Everybody else is sort of interacting, looking around. He's just like out of it.
There are so many parallels to this and Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Because you've got a Joker. He doesn't get the name Joker.
He gets the name Push-Ups, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bill Murray is cracking little jokes in between here. T- telling him he thinks he's taking it a little too seriously.
And then he gets called out by Hulk.
Yeah, he gets called out, and Hulk is like, tell me your joke. And it's, I don't think you'd think it was funny.
That was good.
And gets told to do 50 push-ups.
They go get haircuts.
Yes. And this, I found out, I was talking to our good friend Tracy Morgan at Tracy McBag on Twitter. She's writing the upcoming book, Searching for Candy. She gave me a little bit of insight on John in this movie. He had no idea he was going to get his head shaved, I guess. So his reaction is pretty real.
That's funny.
Yeah, I love that. Now, I guess they worked it into the film because they get their head shaved and he kind of walks out.
Holding hair.
But what's really weird is he walks out holding his hair, and I think it's Psycho, like, is, like, lovingly caressing his head. It's really bizarre. It's just for, like, a moment. And then later, Psycho's the one that's just like, you know, none of you homos touch me. But it's, like, it's really a bizarre moment.
Are you sure it wasn't the other guy?
Could have been.
Because the dumb guy, I don't know his name. I feel awful.
Cruiser? John Deal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cruiser and John Candy kind of bonded.
Maybe it was Cruiser, but somebody like gives him a weird, like, loving caress. There's a dude that like rubs his head, does like the bro, like, oh, your head's bald thing. Then there's like a dude who does something weird to him.
I didn't notice.
Pretty
that.
Pretty sure it's Psycho.
I'm paying attention to the other guys coming out without their heads shaved.
It's pretty bizarre. And did Ox gather the hair afterwards? Like, what happened in that moment?
I don't know. I've been in that situation where I went from having long hair to having a buzz, and I know that feeling where you're just like, I'm gonna miss that.
What's funny to me is some guys get the full buzz treatment. Harold Ramis and Bill Murray just get cool haircuts. They just,
and Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
They're coming out smiling and kind of laughing.
That had to be some stuff in their contract.
It's a subtle thing because you don't have to have a buzz.
You don't?
You just have to have a certain style.
I thought it was like buzz or like a high and tight. They've got to have regulations, right?
Yes, and I bet they were a little different back then, but from what I've seen, wasn't when I saw it, a complete buzz. Police Academy made a less subtle version of this joke, and they just laughed about it and pointed it out to the guys that got the first haircuts and got buzzes.
Harold makes the Krishna joke to John.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
They get weighed and measured and get uniforms.
The free clothes bit.
Okay, John Winger goes up to Hulka. And apologizes, does his BS apology, and as he's walking away, you think he bought it?
No, yeah. Yeah, and a little bit after the free clothing, we have Hulka stopping him leaving, and he's like, you're always last, and he's like, I'm pacing myself, sir. I would love to see this movie with Arlie Ermey in the Hulka role. How intense would this be?
That'd be interesting to cut the two.
There would be so much more yelling. Bill Murray would have gotten a code red.
Yes, he would have been...
He would have been Private Pyle. So they're doing the march training and start singing Doo-Wah Diddy.
Yeah, they don't know how to march. They're not even trying.
No.
He's saying left and nobody's really paying attention.
No.
That nobody's in step.
It's kind of a mess and somehow they just let him sing that song.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I don't either. This seems to be a really like chilled out military base.
Except for every other platoon.
Right. Is Hulka just a horrible drill sergeant?
Maybe.
He's just, like, too calm.
Or he just got all the stoners and idiots.
He's being punished for something. And then they have something in here that I don't think I've ever seen in any military movie ever. They're having, like, a getting-to-know-each-other meeting. They're sitting in the barracks, and Hulka's sitting with his, like, sitting like a cool teacher would, where he turns the chair and sits around backwards on it. It's really confusing.
It was weird. But I think, doesn't Full Metal Jacket have a similar scene?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know. But they're basically all getting to know each other.
Popcorn with Kubrick. New podcast.
And apparently that scene was mostly improvised.
It's great. It's a solid scene. It just seems like a weird setup to me. I get that they throw in like a lot of exposition and everything in there. And it's a funny scene. John is amazing in it. John Candy just kills it in this. He's so good.
It's a great scene. I was a little bothered by Ramis in the scene. I always have been by the over like...
Yeah, a little bit.
It's just kind of annoying and like, you're being a jerk.
Yeah. I love the, I'm Dewey Oxberger, and as you can tell, I've got a slight weight problem. Basically, he joined the army to lose weight and work on his anger issues.
Yeah. And you see him go through all of that.
Yeah.
His anger issues, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty brilliant. It's almost like, I wonder if they did this early on in the movie, and it was like, figure out who your characters are going to be. We're going to do this, and then just let that inform the rest of your...
Yeah, that'd be good.
It almost seems like that's what they did. We have the great Harold Ramis speech with the, you know, I'll be right behind you guys.
That was good,
if
yeah.
If you ever see any heavy action.
And then Murray sucks up to Hulka with his... Some great improv where he's talking about what the other guy said. You guys stole a cow, and your friend, he tried to make it with the cow? I want to party with you. Great
it
lines.
Great. It's his big toe speech.
Yeah, the big toe speech is great.
Hulk is the big toe of their foot.
Apparently, Murray's part was mostly improv and just great, and Hulka just picks up with it and carries that over.
They wake up, and...
It was a standard trash can wake up for... these military movies.
My note is, like in Full Metal Jacket, like how much like accidental male nudity is in these movies? Because they're all wearing like white boxer shorts. There's a ton of it in Full Metal Jacket. It's uncomfortable. Like you almost just want to take a piece of paper and cover up the bottom half of your screen.
I've actually never noticed.
Now, I'm just curious how much like accidental nudity is in this. Hulka comes in, and he gets mad at Bill Murray and tells him they're going to do 10 miles instead of 5.
Well, because he says, I think I speak for all of us here when I say this march should be postponed.
The night before, though, he said we're doing 10 miles tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
That just kind of threw me off. I'd never picked it up before.
It could just be continuity, or it could be a training technique where you're like, okay, I'm going to turn these guys against him.
He told the whole group they were doing 10 miles the night before.
I don't know. Continuity.
Then we have John Larroquette playing with toys.
This is the...
Hold that grenade.
Helmet in Spaceballs.
Yeah, dark helmet. Yeah.
Did this scene.
Yeah. Moranis was a little better, I think, at that. Because he did the voices and all that.
Yeah, that was a great scene. But it came from this, obviously.
Yeah, so for some reason he hands... That dude a grenade?
Pulls the pin out of a grenade.
Yeah, hold this.
Says hold this to the guy, and the guy's freaking out while still talking, just holding it in front of him.
That's psychotic.
It's dumb. Put the pin back in.
Would you say Larroquette was drunk for most of this movie?
According to IMDb, he said he was drunk through most of it.
Well,
and he broke his nose somewhere.
Yeah, at a certain point you see it. Just like heavy, weird, caked on makeup.
And a weird lump in it.
Yeah. It's almost like he's wearing like a fake nose or something.
You never know.
Yeah.
Somebody said that grenade is colored blue because it's inert. So it was obviously just a prop and not a big deal.
Oh, okay. But in the movie,
it's a great scene.
It explodes. And then we have the obstacle course. And Larroquette's out there and he's like, my men. And these people are crushing it, just, you know, running through their obstacle course. And it's like, no, sir, here's your men. It's like bumbling group of idiots just... falling their way. Dewey, John Candy, just takes off into the woods.
That leads straight into a boot camp montage.
Yeah, bayonet training.
With more of the amazing music.
And yeah, they'll cut to like... I love the way this is cut together. It's really quick and it's really well done. And they'll do like training and then, you know, Bill Murray will mouth off and then him doing push-ups.
Yeah.
It's great.
Montage ends with Stillman in his office, looking out the window with a telescope.
I had a note, at one point in the montage, Bill Murray's picking up trash, and he's smoking a cigarette. You're not allowed to smoke in basic training.
No, but if he's alone picking up trash, you never know. It's a movie!
Yeah. That just bothered me.
I need to remember that comeback a little more. It's a movie. Yeah, shut up, it's a movie.
Alright, let's special edition Class of 44 and we'll just do commentary and just throw in it's a movie every time something stupid happens.
There, that's my line for it's a stupid movie.
Yeah, John Larroquette is peeping on some broads in the shower.
Yeah.
And man, what's hilarious to me is there are movie shower maneuvers, right? This has all of the movie shower maneuvers. There's the bad extra that's just like soaping up one butt cheek for the entire scene. And then there's like the like sexy maneuvers where it's like soap up the boobs, just work on the boobs. Like everybody gets like assigned one body part to keep super clean. You know, it's just like the shower maneuvers in movies. Every time a shower scene is on, pay close attention because I am. I've seen this part of this movie probably more than any other part of this movie.
We were watching as children, I know.
This is responsible for puberty. But yeah, he's totally peeping, and that's...
And he's talking under his breath, and it's hilarious.
This movie makes the army seem not so bad. Maybe that's why I almost joined.
That's funny. So, his commanding officer arrives, and his corpsman or whatever brings him in, and he says, "I told you I didn't want to be bothered." The commanding officer yells. Startled, Larroquette throws the telescope out the window through the glass.
Through the glass, yeah. And then the colonel tells him about the EM-50 weapons project that's coming up, and he wants his newest soldiers with the latest weapon. We have Dewey...
scamming the dumb guy. The
scamming cruiser. Yeah, I love it.
Just teaching him poker, and, oh no, you want to stay in. Look, let me see. Bluff me.
Yeah, I love it. He's so great in this.
That was a little sad, but yeah.
And you said John Deal stayed in character the whole movie.
I read that he stayed in character throughout filming and apologized to the director for being dumb the whole time.
That's awesome. Hats off to you, dude. I know you're a big fan, John Deal. The sergeant comes in and tells people, he gives them a speech about somebody's been off the base or something.
Yeah, they get yelled at for a couple of people being out of the barracks or something. And I think this is something that was cut differently than it was filmed, and this kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. This feels like this should come after the scene that comes after this.
Yeah, the following scene when he goes to leave.
Yeah, we have...
Bill Murray goes to go AWOL. He's going to leave.
Yeah, and Ramis...
Harold Ramis goes and stops him, and there's a fight between them with Ramis and his long johns, and they meet the girls, get them out of trouble.
Yeah, it almost feels like that should come before this.
But maybe there wasn't enough motivation for Murray to be leaving up to this point.
I could see that.
And yeah, they just didn't show us what actually happened.
Yeah. Either way, it works for me.
Yeah, it's fine. It's minor.
Ramis steps forward to admit that he's been out of the barracks or whatever. And he gets assigned 24 hours of scrubbing garbage cans. Like, total or in a row? Like...
Straight. You don't get to sleep.
Yeah. I'm so curious. Like, 24
Forget
hours...
Forget your basic training. You're just doing this.
That doesn't seem that bad,
you
too.
You don't get to sleep. Just go.
Versus other army stuff you might have to do. Like, dudes are going to be running 10 miles today. Sorry, guys. I got to keep scrubbing these cans.
Maybe that's why they're so bad towards the end of basic training.
Maybe. They're just picking up trash and scrubbing cans while all the other guys learn gun stuff.
Yeah.
Bill Murray mouths off to Holka, and they go to have a private talk, and he's like, "Step into my office." And this is so awesome. His office is Fonzie style, the bathroom. I love it so much. Fonzie had it a little better because he had a desk in there. And this is where he tries to, he tells him to take a swing at him and takes off his hat. And my thing is, they always do that in a movie. It's like, oh, let me take this off, or let me put my badge down, and now I'm not a cop.
Doesn't matter.
Bill Murray would have punched him and knocked him out, he for sure would have court-martialed him.
Absolutely.
It never works out for you in your favor. Somebody tells you to hit him, don't hit him. Ever. So after this, we've got Bill Murray deserting, and Harold Ramis stops him.
The scene starts with Russell, Harold Ramis's great dream.
Yeah, he's talking in his sleep.
I'll still respect you. I'll respect you more. Just add more whipped cream. Love that.
It had to be just ad-lib and just... awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And he wakes up to tell Bill Murray his dream, and he's not there. And so he goes and finds him, wrestles him, and the ladies show up.
Yeah, PJ Souls and Sean Young pull up.
The most unlikely MPs ever, especially back then.
Yeah. And I get there's a kind of love connection between Sean Young and Harold Ramis in this. PJ Souls and Bill Murray don't look like they hit it off in the beginning. It's not until here where you're like, oh, I guess these two are kind of working out.
Well, that was like a 2-minute scene and he was just hitting on her.
I guess, but you know, you kind of got a little love connection between Sean Young and Harold Ramis in that bus station scene, I thought. But anyway, they decide to not arrest him and just dump him off at the barracks because they are crushing on him for some reason. Oh, I love the line when the ladies stumble across him and he does the whole, it's not what you think. Harold Ramis is like straddling him cowgirl style. It's not what you think. We're just good friends.
Yeah. And they ask, are you going to say anything about this? And she says, I'll treat it like a UFO sighting. I know I saw something. I'm just not sure what it was.
Then we have mortar training.
Yeah, Larroquette walking behind the troops, shooting mortars.
And we have the red-haired actor dude, Timothy Busfield, right? Hats off to you, Timothy. Sorry, I didn't remember your name earlier. We looked you up. they have their mortar training, and then it cuts to the rope climb. So Hulka and all of the dum-dums are doing the rope climb thing in another part of the base, and nobody can do it, and Bill Murray challenges Hulka, and he climbs up. We cut back to the bazooka, or the mortar range, and Larricat's making Timothy Busfield fire off the mortar.
Basically orders him to do it without aiming it.
And yeah, he does just it. Shoot it off. So he fires it off, and then we cut back. Hulka's on the top of the rope climb, you know, like come on up here, knock me down, or whatever.
And then yells, incoming.
Yeah. And the thing just gets exploded by the mortar, and he falls maybe 30 feet.
And has a great, like, delirious moment where he's just, ah, ah, ah.
Yeah, John Candy's great line. Does this mean we're through for the day? Yeah, that's great. Hulk is choking him. And then they're just R&R somehow? I don't know if that's sanctioned or what. Well, it's not, huh? Because later the MPs show up.
Maybe.
But this is like an iconic film moment where they go to the Pom Pom Club.
I don't remember the name, but they go to a mud wrestling bar.
It's crazy. And Dave Thomas is the MC. I forgot he was even in this.
Yeah.
I think this set me up for disappointment as a kid. Because I thought this is what strip clubs are going to be like. They're going to be colorful. There's going to be mud wrestling. It was going to be well lit. There's going to be crazy outfits and naked people everywhere. That's not real. Real strip clubs are so much sadder than the Pom Pom Club. But this is amazing. I mean, there's the mud wrestling in there. At one point, they're auctioning off the opportunity to go mud wrestle those girls.
I don't know how that worked. They were like all bidding on how much they were going to spend to do it. And while that's all happening in the background, Murray's convincing
he's psyching Ox up to do it. I want to take this and cut in some of the auction stuff from Groundhog Day.
That'd be funny.
Just somebody take this scene and just have all the people throwing out the numbers and throw in the old lady. Two bits! So Dewey puts up $413.58 to mud wrestle these women.
And he holds his own.
Yeah. It's crazy. They're wrestling in there, and I don't know if this is supposed to be sexy.
I don't know either. It's kind of weird.
There's a scene where John Candy's sort of on his stomach. One of the mud wrestlers bites his muddy butt.
She looks like she's about to, but when she comes back up, she doesn't have mud all over her face.
No, but like, is that part of the mud wrestling? Because that looks horrible.
They obviously are fighting dirty, because when he's saying, no doing this, no doing that, they're doing it to him.
And there's a Chippendales guy there for some reason. There's straight up just a Chippendales dancer, just a sexy dude dancer. Why would he be there?
For any ladies that might show up?
But he's like sort of the referee of the fight.
I don't know, maybe he's a ref and he has to dress that way.
I mean, for my money, just get the dudes out of there. This is supposed to be...
Oh, hold on. I'm supposed to say, it's a movie.
That's an argument, winner. So he starts snatching... Ox starts snatching their tops off.
He's getting tired of just them fighting dirty, and he's got six women fighting dirty to try to not let him win.
But I thought, like, that seems like a more interesting game than just mud wrestle. See how many tops you can get off of them. Right?
I don't see that as being that hard, so I think they need the wrestling part of it.
I guess. I mean, if they're fighting you, that could be a fun game. and then the MPs show up to bust them.
As soon as the wrestling's over, doors open.
And it's Sean Young and PJ Souls, luckily.
Saving the day. We'll take care of these two.
They just let their other dudes just get into trouble. Just...
Yeah. They all get taken back.
And then we have the explain yourself scene with Hulka.
Stillman.
Stillman, Larricat.
And Ox tries to explain.
Yeah, and he's just basically, I'm going to fail you and you're going to have to repeat basic.
He's going to let them get embarrassed for the parade the next day for graduation.
And then we go to Bill Murray and Ramis, and they're with the ladies, and they're going to go hang out at General Barnicky's house.
Murray just runs in there. They're starting to flirt, and Murray just runs into the house.
Yeah, Barney, he owes me money. They hang out, and then there's...
They split up immediately.
Yeah, they pair off.
This is like a teenage boy movie scene.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to take this girl here, you're going to go take that girl there.
Yeah, so Bill and PJ are in the kitchen. He gives her, like, the Aunt Jemima treatment thing, which sounds like it would be something horribly racist.
Or something tasty.
Yeah, either or. But he gets the spatula and, like,
puts her on the stove and starts... Using the spatula on her?
Yeah, and PJ's Souls looks like legitimately freaked out when he like picks her up and puts her on the stove.
Yeah.
This had to be just completely
It was all script. Improv.
It had to be.
Then he grabs a roller and starts rolling her, and then a ice cream scoop.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. But he gets her to admit that she's falling for him, and they run off to the bedroom.
And then Ramis and Sean Young are doing the force field game. Get as close as you can to the other person without touching them.
Isn't the goal of that game to lose?
Yeah, absolutely. I like their love story, if you want to call it that, a lot more than Bill Murray and PJ Souls.
It's cuter.
Yeah.
It's not as forced and almost creepy the way Murray plays it off. And then we get a really weird scene of them coming out of Foot Locker after having
sex. Foot Locker flies open in a bedroom. Bill Murray just goes, that was interesting.
Yeah, and I found out that that bedroom is from the hotel they stay in later.
No.
And they put that in to try to make it fit better.
No, that's interesting. So back to the barracks. Everybody's bummed. Bill Murray and Harold Ramis walk in all proud of their conquest. And they have 3 hours of practice before graduation.
Yeah, they're both being pretty positive about it. Ramis more than Murray.
And then they're practicing in the barracks. And we have John Candy as Locks. Getting racist.
Well, Ramis says, black guys help the white guys.
With the rhythm, yeah. You have no rhythm. Black guys help the white guys.
One of the guys says, what did he say? And John Candy throws his rifle and gets in his face. Black guys help the white guys. And then there's a little fight and they have to break it up.
It's just like a weird thing. It's
racism for no reason that just is really subtle and not... There's no point to it.
The point was the guys needed to fight so that Bill Murray could rally the troops.
And have that great monologue.
Yeah, I just wish that the thing that sparked it wasn't racism on the part of John Candy's character.
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't like 1941.
Yeah, 1941 was much more uncomfortable. This was kind of a bummer, though. It was a bummer. And Bill Murray's in there, and they're yelling, they're throwing things around, they're being very loud. And remember, this is the middle of the night. Aren't people sleeping at the base? Probably. Those other soldiers that are good?
But they're the motor pool. It's kind of farther away from the barracks. Apparently nobody was able to find them in the morning.
Yeah, or nobody cared to look.
But they have people running around during the parade, which is at 2 p.m., to try to find them, and they wake up at 3 p.m.
But Bill Murray has his pep talk in there. They wake up at 3 p.m., and they're late. They're missing their graduation. The graduation's going on. And they march in dressed like maniacs.
They're dressed like they're just off after a day of basic training. Like, yeah. They're relaxing in the barracks or something.
And they do their whole march in, like the...
Which would have gotten them in so much trouble.
Yeah, it would have been a court-martial, for
embarrasses
sure.
Embarrasses everybody there, except the crowd.
And Bill is being, like, a smug, like, weirdo to the general.
But the general, for some reason, ends up liking it.
I don't get that at all when he's like, what type of training? Army training, sir! Like, it's so... And he's mugging at him. It's just like, you would have been, like... You would have been caned.
Something, yeah.
Somehow he just likes him, and he's just like into it. But watching him do the whole maneuver and all this like synchronized garbage, I was just like, any army movie has to be a bummer to do.
Maybe
even as an actor to memorize all that stupid stuff. Like anything you have to do synchronized sucks. I did marching band; it's the worst. Just repeating things over and over and over.
You and I have different opinions on that because I did that too for a lot longer.
I know. I don't know how he did it. It's terrible. So they get the EM-50 job. The general, for some reason, sees these idiots walk in, out of uniform, like, constantly violating things, and he's just like, boom.
Well, because they finished their basic training without their drill sergeant.
I think maybe the general was just like, well, the EM-50 is a stupid idiot Winnebago thing. Let's get these dumb weirdos to pilot it. They get the EM-50.
And he says, I want them on a plane tonight.
Yeah, the next day, they're Fort Milano in Italy.
And Stripes 2 begins.
Yeah, Stripes 2 begins. They have the John Candy make my bunk because we're in Italy scene.
Yeah, he so abuses that guy. Just abusing him constantly.
I love it, though. I think that's great.
It works because he obviously cares for him. You can see it later.
Yeah.
Hulka walks in, all banged up, bandaged.
His hands are bandaged, and he has a Band-Aid on his cheek.
Yes.
He was... so hurt he couldn't make it to the graduation the day before, but all he needed was some bandages on his hands and a Band-Aid on his cheek, and he's able to fly to Italy.
Yeah, I read that that's supposed to be his twin brother, and that was changed for some reason.
That would have made more sense if it was his twin brother.
Maybe it was too dark having Hulk die.
Yeah.
He was supposed to die, and that was supposed to be his twin brother.
It would have made more sense to me, honestly. That's a little gripe with this. What happened to his hands? You get exploded by a mortar, and it just... What, burns your hands?
It's a movie.
He's fine the next day.
It's a movie.
Oh, God. You and this... It's a movie. It's going to be rage.
That's going to be our podcast from now on. It's a movie. But what's this? It's a movie.
We just started like 8 podcasts in one episode.
Cue the Winnebago.
The EM50 reveal. It's just a Winnebago. So Bill Murray and Harold Ramis are laying there, and Harold's talking about trying to be an officer and stuff.
Yeah, he's sitting there reading the manual, and Bill Murray is sleeping.
And then they decide they're going to steal the EM50.
And go meet the ladies who happen to be in Germany
on
leave.
How did they think they were going to get away with this?
It's a movie.
And the ladies flew to Germany the same night that they flew to Italy.
It's not positive it was the next night. You never know what happened to get them there.
So John Larroquette is taking a lady to go see the EM50. And we have his great line delivery when he does the "where's my truck" thing.
He delivers that line so well.
It is super good.
And he freaks out so well on that. It looks so realistic. And this is where you can see his nose is broken.
Mm-hmm. And the guy guarding the truck is like, well, you know.
They went to go wash it.
This is so terrible. How are they going to get away with it?
So Stillman orders that nobody can go in and nobody gets to know about this.
Yeah, and then he's going to go find him undercover. So they get the rest of the...
platoon?
Yeah.
You get a lot of exposition of the guys talking. I can't believe they're Russian spies.
I love the undercover outfit that John Larroquette is wearing because he's dressed up like a straight up like a German schoolboy.
Yeah, it's
like
pretty funny.
Shorts and high socks. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they're in Schloss von Habsburg, Germany. And we have Bill Murray talking to PJ Souls, and he says something like, I brought my magic suitcase.
I hope you've been doing your exercises.
I think that, so that's, the magic suitcase is what we see in the night before.
Maybe.
I think that's the deal.
Well, he wouldn't have brought that. That's not something he could bring, really.
Well, you could get one in Germany, I'm
we
sure.
We don't see it in the EM50 ever.
No, that's true. So we go back to John Larroquette and the boys, and they're lost. Hulk is in the car trying to tell John Larroquette what to do, and he's not having
it. And he constantly yells at him, I'm in charge, I'm doing this.
This is my mission.
They get lost, and...
end up in Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, Hulk bails.
He bails right before the border, and then they just drive straight through.
Right through the border with Joe Flaherty as one of the Border Patrol guys.
Great.
Good scene where he throws coffee in his buddy's face.
Every time you see him, he throws coffee in his buddy's face. I love Flaherty. And I'm curious when he talks, if he knew what they were going to put in as the subtitles, or did they just let him kind of do his thing and then later figure out a joke to put in?
Well, a lot of it, there aren't subtitles. And it's just... whatever he's saying. I wonder if it's anything.
I love Joe Flaherty. So the guys get busted.
They get stopped by a couple tanks and are taken prisoner.
It's great when they go around the back of the truck.
Oh, and they open the flap and they're pointing guns at each other.
Pointing guns and John Candy.
John Candy's like, here you go. Just
here
hands
you are,
it.
Boys. Pass them for.
Our best and brightest.
Back in Germany, we have Bill Murray and Harold Ramis and leaving the hotel. One of the lines I love in this is Bill Murray talks to one of the old ladies and he says, don't order the schnitzel, they're using schnauzer.
That's a good one.
I love that line. So they get into the EM50 and they're getting a shortwave transmission, and it's Holka using a shortwave transmission to try and get some help.
And he speaks so uniquely. How do they not know it's him just immediately?
Yeah. He sounds like Compton from The Clown Murders.
Kind of.
So... Compton was, that's one sharp apple. Hulk is more just like, that's one sharp apple. It's just like a deeper Compton. So they decide to drive to the border and go help everybody.
Yeah. Somewhere in there, there's a scene where Ox stands up and tries to protect his buddy, the one he's been taking advantage of the whole time.
Yeah.
And everybody else stops him, so that guy's being tortured.
So they show up at the border, and they take Joe Flaherty and the other guy as prisoners.
They're playing like they're tourists. They distract them and then take them prisoners. Tie them up. Bill Murray has an idea.
It's nuts. He's dressed up in the Czech officer outfit or whatever.
Driving a big truck with the Winnebago following him.
He just gets out like he knows everybody.
Yeah,
he hands up a bottle of vodka to guy.
Just waves the van in. They don't stop him. He goes up in silence with a bottle of vodka. Hands it to a guy, hugs him, hugs another guy, walks to the Winnebago. gets away with it, basically, until he gets in the Winnebago and people start asking questions.
The hugging maneuver just seems like that's a bold choice.
Yeah. But if you think about it, if you see a guy walking with a bottle of vodka and just being weird, you might not say anything.
I mean, if he's in the military, I might be like, dude, you're getting a court-martial because you're clearly drunk.
Maybe.
Or this is Russia where we shoot you for that.
Maybe.
Bold maneuver.
Yeah.
So then the EM-50 ends up getting surrounded by people because that bold maneuver doesn't quite pay off. And they blow up the tower and stuff.
The EM-50 armor deploys, which is pretty awesome.
It's just like corrugated metal comes down.
Yeah, but it's still pretty awesome.
The EM-50 is the turtle wagon from the Ninja Turtles.
Really?
It's straight up that. I mean, it's just like
I was thinking metal. Tango and Cash.
Oh my god, yeah! Yeah, it's crazy to me.
And what's the other one, more recent? But Tango and Cash, that's the one. That's the closest.
Yeah, and they've got the flamethrower on it. And Hulka is sneaking into the Czech base. And he's perfectly fine. His hands aren't bandaged or anything. He even took the Band-Aid off his cheek. Bill Murray and PJ Souls get out of the EM-50. And they go in to try and save the guys. And I love that this is just 80s action movie badassery. He knocks out two guys by tripping them, and then he punches one in the face while PJ Souls kicks one in the stomach, and somehow that just incapacitates them, and then moving on.
Well, somebody gets a nut shot from her.
Yeah, at a certain point, somebody does, yeah.
And another couple of guys are running around a corner, and Murray just sticks his leg out and trips them.
Yeah, those are the two that I'm talking about.
Okay.
He just trips them, and then one guy gets up, he punches him in the face, knocks him out, and she just kind of kicks the guy in the stomach while he's down, and he's down for the count.
This is A-team style fighting.
I love it.
Nobody dies. Everybody jumps out of the way. It's great A-team stuff.
I, who cares? It's just very fun 80s. It doesn't matter to me that the action is realistic.
The Border Patrol guys have freed themselves. They're still tied up, but they're kind of walking around now.
And we go in. They knock out a couple guys who are torturing Cruiser and set him free. And then they go to blow the door that's got everybody else in it. Doesn't really work out.
Do they not realize that if they've got one of them out and the rest are in there, somebody there has a key?
Yeah. So they try to blow the door. It doesn't work out. John Larroquette's losing it inside.
And goes off on the guys, how dumb they are.
Yeah. So Ox decides he's going to crush him, charges him, and just knocks the door down.
Yeah.
You should have just tried that.
Maybe. At some point, the EM-50 gets hit by a cannon, barely scratched. They're about to take another shot at it, and Hulka takes out the guy shooting it.
Ramis and Sean Young are battling, like, the entire army out there. There's multiple tanks and infantrymen all over the place.
I like that Hulka creates a scene that Larroquette caused that almost killed Hulka.
Yeah.
And he takes out the Border Patrol.
Yeah, it works out when Hulka does it.
Yeah.
So at one point, all the guys are running around, and they get stuck between a tank and a bunch of infantrymen firing. And Ramis shows up behind the tank and blows it up.
And it drives into a building.
And then they all get into the EM-50 and take off.
And that EM-50 holds a lot of people.
It does. And then Hulka dives onto the roof of it.
Yeah, Hulka's pretty awesome.
We have Joe Flaherty sitting outside of the border shack.
They put a bunch of trucks in the front of the road to block it. They did. There's a shack sitting next to him and the blown-up shack sitting on the other side. And they're just sitting there with their coffee.
Again with the coffee. And then here comes the EM-50 with Hulka on top. And they just smash right through the border shed.
And Hulka has the "I'm getting too old for this" line.
Right after they smash through that border shack, it's got the picture of the two guys, Joe Flaherty and the other guy.
The spinning newspaper stuff from old movies everywhere.
Local boys thwart Yankee horde.
And we get an airport with John Candy calling the boys to attention.
I don't know. This had to be somewhere down the road because this can't be right afterwards.
It's got to be right after they got their medals or something.
Something like that. Anyway, Hulka steps out first and this is a clever way to do the "this is the future of these characters" moments. So Hulka steps off and it's a newspaper ad, spinning newspaper again, about how he's retiring and he's going to start Hulka Burger.
Yeah.
Which somebody should totally do, by the way.
Copyright Popcorn with Candy 2016. Yeah.
PJ Souls steps out and she's just going to pose in Penthouse. Sean Young is going to be in Road Life talking about tanks.
Firepower versus MPG.
Yeah. Harold Ramis is the best. He's going to be in Guts, the magazine for real men. And then John Candy's on Tiger Beat, Win a Date with Ox, and Bill Murray is on News World.
Stillman ends up in the Arctic anyway.
Yeah, he ends up being a CEO at a place in the Arctic. Doesn't seem that bad.
No. Murray coming out of the plane, doing his, a party, and just being all shocked. He gets John Candy to break character.
He does.
When he's doing his improv, he goes down and hugs John Candy.
I think when he kisses him on the cheek.
And he just kind of smirks. It's kind of cool.
I love this movie so much. It was great to revisit it. It was like, you ever hang out with a friend and you're like, oh man, we should do this more often. Like it was like that. It was like, oh God, it's been too long since I've seen this one. I'm so glad this wasn't a Spaceballs situation, that I was able to watch it and love it thoroughly.
I'm still mad at you about what you think about Spaceballs.
We'll see. Maybe I'll change my mind by the time we get around to it.
So I guess that's it.
Yeah, a great movie. Everybody needs to watch it.
I'll watch it again. If anybody wants to watch it with me, let me know.
Watching movies with Peter, the podcast. Copyright. It's held up great. I love this. It's super awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
So, guys, you can follow us on Twitter at popcorn_with.
Visit our website, popcornwith.com. We're also on Facebook.
Or you can call our number that I never know the number of.
I'll copy and paste it from last week.
You can call us at 470-729-BUCK. All right, so I'm super stoked for you to
watch. Don't call that one back.
I'm super stoked for next week. It's going to be heavy metal, which I grew up watching and love.
And I've never seen.
I don't know. I'm really curious what you're going to think, because you like, you know, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone, like interesting science fiction.
I had no idea it was animated.
It's an animated film. And Heavy Metal Magazine was a thing. That's kind of what sparked it. It's kind of like Creepshow. Like, think multiple little vignette. You know Creepshow.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Popcorn with Creepshow. Next episode, guys. Yeah, I'm super excited for Heavy Metal. I love that movie. It'll be fun to see what you think, because I just grew up with it. It was just a thing.
I'm looking forward to this next year of podcasts, because every movie is going to be awesome.
Hopefully. I mean, there's
most movies are going to be awesome.
There's a couple that I don't know about, I'm nervous about, but for the most part, this is just all win.
We're getting into some awesome stuff, so I'm happy.
Yeah. I'm super excited.
I hope we're as good with good movies as we are with bad movies.
Yeah, I do too. It might just be boring, just like two dudes super excited about a movie.
Maybe.
All right, guys, well, is that it?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, bye. Love you.
There's enough of a pause, I can get rid of that.
Don't get rid of that.